Good to be here. Appreciate so much what God has done for us, and I don't know, there's no possible way that we could ever thank Him for all the wonderful things that He's done. One of the things that He did for us was set this up so that we could be together every first day of the week and at other times in our lives, and that's a wonderful thing for us, and I appreciate that so much. Kyle, as is always, when I preach with someone else on the third Sunday, they choose the topic and what we're talking about, and I try to do the best I can to figure out exactly what they have in mind, and it works out to some degree all the time, and we appreciate that. So he chose this subject matter this morning. When it comes up, the word will be retirement. There we go. I thought this had retired on me, and this does it every once in a while. I tell you, last week I meant to mention I really appreciated three of the men working together to get all this electronic gadgetry back up. Not that we have to have it. I can actually preach without it, but it is a nice thing to have when we're trying to talk about things. When we think of retirement, we usually think of a time when we can relax, enjoy life, and put most things behind us. And turns out that's not the case. We find out that retirement is not true retirement, that we still have things to do, and it never really gets to the point where we can put all those things behind us and we can enjoy life and we can do some things. But today we're going to take a little different view of retirement as he has thought about this subject matter. And so it has several meanings as a noun. And for instance, one of the meanings is removal of something from service or use. And Webster.net gives this as a definition: to withdraw from circulation. To withdraw, to take away. So sometimes we use the word retire as to we're not using that any longer. It's still there, but we're just not using it any longer. In our life, we do move on from certain things, and we're meant to move on from them. And in essence, we retire from them. They're still there, but we're not using those anymore. And we keep them a lot of times around, and we keep way too many things. But those are things that we're not using, and we just keep them. But in the biblical sense, there are things we move on from, but we never forget those things, and certainly they mean something to us. Have you ever noticed that when you're talking to someone and they're trying to convince you you need to be prepared for the future, and they're financial people, and all these financial people have one thing in mind. It's you got to save. And when you get through saving, save some more and then save some more, because it doesn't matter about right now. Don't worry about right now. You got to look down the future. One day you're going to get to be, and when you reach that age, man, you need to have money, 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 money. And you can't have enough of it. You ever notice that? Well, they also want you to do something with that, and after a while, after you say, they invest, invest, invest. And then they'll tell you what to invest in and how to invest it and what's safe. And they got statistics from here to there, and they, right? And we're told that the more we invest when we're young, the more will be available later. That's barring all of those unforeseen things that they failed to mention, but just, you know, it's going to be there. And so then you're going to reach this age when you can just take it easy. Never have to concern yourself about money again. Things will be so good, it'll just be unbelievable. Well, you can go anywhere you want to, you can do anything you want to, you can just enjoy life, and that's what we're told. And don't tell me that's not what we're told, because every time I've been around any financial advisor, this is exactly what they say. And they've got all kinds of methods to bring this about, don't they? But let's look at these stages spiritually. Let's think about it for a moment. Is it true spiritually about saving and investing? Do we really need to be saving and investing for our future? Well, let's use a principle that's taught in 1 Corinthians. And now he's talking about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 13, actually 12, 13, and 14. But all the principles that are used in a discussion of this are just as true today as they were then. Nothing's changed about that, about the principles. Now we'll discuss a little bit about what this is actually talking about real quickly, but when that which is perfect has come, let's start with verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, he's not talking about after this life is over. None of those things pass away. in that sense, he's talking about something in a particular context here. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When the completeness comes, then other things will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a principle taught here that's true in physical life. And he said in spiritual life, it's to be the same way. And so he's using this to talk about, as we said, something specific. He's talking about before the New Testament was completed, during this time of transition when it's being taught and then being written down, that at some point the completeness will come like Jude talks about. And when that comes, there will no longer be a need for spiritual gifts to prove it because the Word is all you need. The Word, as we talked about in class this morning, is the power of God unto salvation. It's not all these miracles. It's not this ability to speak in other languages. It's none of those things. None of those things ever saved a person in and of themselves. They were used to verify that the person talking actually came from God. And they could prove it by this power that was given to them to be able to perform these things. And so these things needed to be retired. Is it unimportant that those things happened? Absolutely not. Are they as valuable to us today? Yes, but we don't need to go back to those things. And he's saying, don't need them anymore. Don't need them. That when it comes to prophecies, as in miraculous prophecies, those won't be needed because you're going to have them written down, every one that you need. When it comes to being able to miraculously speak another language, you're not going to need that anymore because it's not needed to teach the gospel. When it comes to that type of knowledge miraculously given, it won't be needed anymore because all knowledge will be available to you. So basically what he's saying with this is just grow up, move away from childhood. There's a time comes when you need to move up. And when it comes to this principle, it's true about every aspect of our spiritual life. Spiritually, we do the same. We start out, and as he talks about in 1 Peter 2, there's a desire when you are first born to eat, if you're normal. And you want to eat. And you're going to make it possible, or you're going to make it known, I should say, to everyone around you that you're hungry. You want some food. I want it now. You're going to start this saving process of your body. What you end up doing is you cry and you let people know, but what happens spiritually? Therefore, laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. He said, lay some things aside and then be like a newborn baby. What you will do then is you will desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. What you'll start doing is saving up this knowledge. You'll start putting it into you. You'll invest in it in such a way that you'll start to understand God's will. Who does it for you? Well, a mother provides the milk for the child. So might we seek out others to try to learn more about God's Word? Absolutely. Do we come to assemblies, to classes to learn more about God's Word? Absolutely. Whose responsibility is it, though? Unlike that baby, yes, as Roger pointed himself, it's ours. We need to do this saving and investing. It is our responsibility. And what I have found in all of this, I don't know about the rest of you, that when it comes to money, no one does it for me. I've never had someone come up and say, taking care of that for you. I've had to do it myself if I wanted to have it. And our knowledge and understanding must be mature. We've got to start maturing in this. We've got to understand that as we study God's Word, we can't just stop. We've got to keep on and on and on as they teach us in the physical world. We've got to save, 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 and invest and invest and invest to the point, again talking about spiritual gifts in chapter 14, you reach this point where, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Don't be children in that any longer. You have to come to a better understanding of God's Word. Again, whose responsibility is it? It's ours. No one's going to do it for us. We may get some help from other people, but he said, as he goes on with this, however, in malice be babies, but in understanding be mature. Let these investments mature. Leave them there. Leave them inside of you. Keep growing with them. Keep putting them in there. Keep on putting it in there so that it becomes you. Growing in it. Just as a child would understand this principle of putting food into their body and keeping putting food in their body, and I don't know that that desire ever fails unless, again, something's wrong with the body, then we need to do the same thing. Spiritually, keep feeding ourselves. Keep putting it in there. Keep saving it. Keep investing in it. You therefore, beloved, in 2 Peter 3:17, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the evil of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him is everything we need. And think about this for a moment. What would happen to a child that quits eating? There will be no future. What will happen to a child of God that quits feeding? There will be no future. There will be no growing. And it will cause one to be fruitful in all of this. It will cause one to show by their lives that they have the Word of God in them, that they are doing this, that they are putting this aside for future. They are putting this knowledge in there so that they can not only use it in their own lives, as we'll look at, but in other ways as well. And we find that in Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Paul, talking about them, wanted them to understand that he wanted them to grow beyond where they were. They needed to continually let this build up so that the investment grows large. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the goal. That's the goal. It doesn't start with $1 million. It starts with a few pennies. It starts with a small amount. It doesn't start with meat. It starts with milk. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Question, how would I know what those works are? Having a knowledge of Him. How would I know which ones are good? Having a knowledge of Him. Think about this for a moment. When Jesus was on the earth and He talked to those Pharisees, He told them what works were good. Those that the Father had said. Not the ones that humans had said, but what the Father had said. And increasing in the knowledge of God. How can we increase in this? Can you ever save enough? Can you ever invest enough? According to man, you cannot. When it comes to spiritual, can you ever have enough? Is there a point you reach where you're fully ready? And now you have it all? Is there anyone in this room that has that kind of knowledge or wisdom or understanding? And then we need to add to that foundation. Once we have started that practice, we work on it every day of our life. We use it in our lives. We use it to the degree that when we are even questioned by others, why are you doing this? Why do we do this? Why is this right? Why is this wrong? What do? We say, I don't know. We need to go ask the preacher. Well, I'm not real sure about that, but let me find somebody and give you the answer. And I'm going to tell you something. I saw a couple smiles. I didn't mean anything by that. Sometimes it is good to go ask someone else. Maybe we don't want to give the wrong answer. Maybe we don't want to teach someone wrong. And we realize, I don't really have a good answer for that right now. It is better not to give an answer than it is to give a wrong answer. And He says in this, but set apart the Lord as Lord Jesus in your hearts, or sanctify Him in your hearts. Being ready always. How often? Always. To give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that's within you. How? With meekness and fear. Because the answer should never come from you. That's what He's saying, Abe. Tell them what the Bible says. Don't give them some man's idea of this. Tell them what the Bible says. Using what we know to move on. In Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For when? For the time you ought to be teachers. He says, you have need that one teach you again. The first principles of God. See, there's a problem in this. If we don't use it, if we don't know it, we need to get beyond these first principles of the oracles of God. What are they? Well, and He says, you come to need milk and not strong food or solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. But solid food belongs to those who, what brings about this? Who by reason of use. If you just put it in there and there's no use for it whatsoever, it's just a waste. It will not accomplish anything. Who by reason of use have their senses, all of them, exercised to discern both good and evil. It comes down to it, it's using it in our lives. It's talking to others about it in our lives. It's making sure that we get beyond the basics. That we have not just saved a little bit at the beginning and hoped for the best at the end. It will not work that way. It won't work that way. And then we have to invest in others as well. We don't just invest in ourselves. One of the things that just about all good financial advisors say is, well, when you start getting money and you use it to help others as well. They'll tell you that, don't they? Because that's a good use of that money as you're getting toward your goal of retirement. Well, in Galatians 1, 27 through 29, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. He's talking about those that went and preached, such as himself, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How many people in your life do you want to present perfect to God? Well, Paul wanted them all. Not one person left out. That should be the goal. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Could Paul do that by himself? No, he knew that. But as he taught others, they could teach others. And as they taught others, they could teach others. And that's the way this was supposed to work. But we never forget the foundation of our salvation. Just like if you had money invested, you never forget that first money, but you understand that won't be enough. You move on. And we need to move forward as well. In talking to those Jews, he wanted them to understand something. That when he was talking about the milk, he was talking about they never got away from the old law. In a discussion of this in Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, he discusses some of those things, and those were the elementary principles of Christ. Those were what Christ had built everything on. What? The Old Testament was what he built everything that he taught on. Because the Old Testament needed to be understood before you could understand the New. It was all put together to bring us to Christ. The law was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. It was brought about to show what sin would do and the punishment of sin so that when Christ came, everyone could understand that. So as he's talking to these Jews, this whole book of Hebrews is a discussion to the Jews that we can use today, telling them how much better Christ and His Word is than anything ever before and ever will be. And certainly there will never be anything else from God, but there's been things from human beings. So, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. He had taught repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. Don't go back to that. Because as Cody asked this morning, the kingdom's here. You don't go back to those dead works. Those works won't do you any good under that law anymore. That was to bring us to Christ. That's the principles that brought us to Christ. Of faith toward God. Well, isn't faith always necessary? But he's saying the type of faith that was needful to bring you to Christ, you don't need to keep going back to that. You have accomplished that. Move on. The doctrine of baptisms. This word should properly, in my view, be translated washings. It is a word that's only used four times. It is always talking the washings that they did, such as in Hebrews 9, he would talk about that same thing. In verse 10, same word in the Greek, various washings. He's talking about getting away from what had been brought under that old law. They needed to make sure things were clean. But we've gotten beyond that. Now you need to make sure you're clean. Now you need to understand the baptism for the remission of sins. Get away from discussing these things and going back to them. Don't even talk about the washing of plates and all of that as a spiritual ritual anymore. Then he goes on to talk about the laying on of hands. That they were getting away from that. Not needed anymore. That was needed to bring about these spiritual gifts. But that's going away. Don't need that anymore. Of resurrection of the dead. Now it can be fully realized because Christ died for the sins of everyone. So now that can be understood. You can now actually have a resurrection of from the dead and of eternal judgment that can be now come about because Jesus has brought everything into the world. These all led you to Christ. Now move forward. And then we need to add to our riches. As we realize that we probably needed more and more of these and can never have enough of them, in 2 Peter, Peter would say it this way. For this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brother kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you're going to be able to retire. Someday you'll be barren, neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will never lack. You're going to have plenty of spiritual richness in you that you'll always have it for. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to get there. You're going to have enough savings. You're going to have enough investment in your spiritual life that now He can save you eternally. And then the goals have to keep maturing. As we look at ourselves and we realize the needs in our spiritual portfolio, as we understand and know that there are some things lacking, we understand, as Paul said, I have not already apprehended. In this life, we're still saving and investing until we die. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, putting them back, retiring them. What does he say? And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. When does that end? As long as I'm in this life. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. And it's a matter, seriously, a matter of using our time wisely. The problem that we have is that we make a certain amount of money, for the most part, throughout our lives. How do we use it? Do we use it properly or don't we use it properly? Do we put aside some or do we not put aside some? We make decisions as we go. Well, that's what happens with our time as well when it comes to God. In Ephesians 5, starting with verse 14, he says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, very, very carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Doing what? Buying back, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. How do we take advantage of this time? How do we use it wisely? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. While on earth, this is a constant. It never stops. It never will stop. As long as I'm alive, I have things to do. As he went through this whole passage and talked about those things, and we ended up with he hadn't already apprehended those things, he says, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. This is not my money. This is His. This spiritual money is His. That's why I have to be so careful with it. How I use it, how I save it, how I invest it, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You see the difference in this and what we discussed in Hebrews 6? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. That's what it's all about. That's what he's been talking about. That's why that it is said in Hebrews 6, get away from that back then. Understand what it means now. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Until finally we're ready to depart this life. Our retiring is done. Our investments are paying off. We find out that all this time that we had, what little we spent for Him, if we used it wisely, and it better be every minute of our day, if we used it wisely, if we used His knowledge wisely, if we understood what He had to say, if we gained wisdom from Him like He wanted us to, Paul would say this now. You see, you remember in Philippians, 3, he said he hadn't already obtained this. But now he understands he's getting ready to leave this life. It's time. And now that it is time, how does he feel about himself? Well, he believes that God has saved up for him something in heaven. And we have many, many scriptures about this, but I just picked this one. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. You see, the savings and investments have paid off. He's planned it, and now the crown of righteousness is there. That's what we've been looking for. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not to me only, but them that also love His appearing. When you think about this, he had made it clear that he knew he was being poured out as a drink offering. That the time of his departure was at hand. That he had fought a good fight. He had finished the course, and he had kept the faith. He had saved and invested from the time that he understood who Jesus Christ was until this time, and now he knows. Blessed are the dead that die from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14:13. Kyle's going to continue some thoughts about this in the next lesson, and I kind of just wanted to set the principle for what I believe he's going to talk about. And he's going to use some examples of some of these things so that you can look at them and understand a little bit more about what we need to be doing. We need to be constantly mature ourselves, always moving forward, never being stuck in one place. If you want to have lots of money, Kyle was talking the other day, he didn't know what Jenna was going to do, but he has been saving for himself when for the time he was little. So that's the way it works, right? No, that's not the way it works. We just learned that in the lesson. We all need to start sometime to have that hope of that final retirement. Have you started? Do you really understand now what it means to invest everything you have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Not one spiritual thing should be invested anywhere else. He is our complete savings account. He's our complete savings account. You know why? Because of what He did on the cross. He saved us eternally through His blood. With His love, He gave everything that He had. He put it all on the line. He told us how much He loved us by dying on the cross for our sins. And God said, as a result of that, I now can forgive you. The question is, have you started that? Now, what did He ask us to do to save toward that? Well, He said, if you want salvation from sins, the believers in Acts 2 asked this question, men and brethren, what should we do? And He was very concise in His answer. Repent, be immersed or baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You want them taken away? You want salvation at the end? It is through Him and Him only that we can have salvation. We use multiple scriptures, but we all know those scriptures in this audience. The truth is, you want to become a Christian today? You tell Him that you believe that He's the Son of God. You then are willing to change, turn away from sin, turn toward Him. That's repentance. And then you need to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. That's what He said. If you have that need, or as a Christian you have any needs, we would be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?